Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, September 13th, 2017. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today I am airing a replay of my interview last week with my guest, Brian A. Matthews. It was so good, I have to air it again. Matthews is a new author with the debut book, I Stopped Smoking Marijuana and Cigarettes, Now What? And here's a little bit about Brian A. Matthews, a moving conversationalist with a compelling story to tell. Brian A. Matthews inspires people in the midst of life's toughest challenges, working through and rising out of the grips of poverty on the rough streets of Detroit. Brian draws on his captivating life story to change the narrative on inner city culture. And I want to welcome Brian A. Matthews to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Hello, Brian.
How you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes,
I'm good.
Can you hear me? Good,
yes,
good,
ma'am.
Good. So let's talk about this book, I Stopped Smoking Marijuana and Cigarettes, Now What? And let's get to the reasons behind it. First, tell us about this book. I mean, the title is pretty direct, but tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, I felt that so many people have, you know, struggles with smoking, and I was one of those people, and I felt that it would be good for me to put my story out of the struggles of smoking and how it can have a hold on you and you don't even know it has a hold on you, and how it starts. Thing has a beginning. We don't just wake up and start doing something. Usually it's something that leads up to us doing it. And I felt like, you know, being able to tell my story from the beginning and letting people see the struggle and how it damages your relationship with your family, your friends, your job, it's not what people think it is.
Okay. So so you say it's not what people think it is. It's a little bit more. So let's talk a little bit about your particular addiction. What was the extent of your problem? you laugh. Okay, you got a story.
Yeah,
I know there's a story behind that.
You know, I was one of those people. I never do that. I was the athlete. You know, I played basketball. You know, I was one of those, how could you do that type of people? How could you do that? And okay, let me take you back. The seed had already been planted at a young age. But I was called myself being strong enough to resist it. And then once I started, it started with, I'm just having fun with my friends. You know, we just having fun smoking. I didn't realize I was becoming dependent on it until certain actions started coming. You know, being out late at night trying to find something, doing things I knew I had no business doing to get it. You know, keeping the weed man on speed dial. I'm a keep you on speed dial because I never know when I want to smoke. So I gotta keep you in my top five, so to speak. It had got to the point where I had to go to work. I had to smoke weed before I went to work. You know, I had to do something before I went to work because I felt like if I just go to work without smoking, my day gonna be horrible. You know, I had to smoke weed around people, so it set me up for failure because I started smoking like, you know, how people breathe, that's how I was smoking. And I woke up one day and said, okay, this thing is bad.
Okay. So, for one thing, you sounds like you're saying for in the morning, marijuana was your coffee, right? And then, okay. So, you said you woke up one day and you said, this, you know, basically something's got to change. So, how and when did you know it was time to quit? You know what I mean? Like, you know, you said you woke up that one morning, but what was it that kind of like jarred you that it was an issue, a serious issue for you. It wasn't just recreational, in other words.
When it became a bill,
when
people started knowing my payday better than me, you know, and I started neglecting simple responsibilities. A lot of people don't want to admit that it affected my relationship with my kids. My first marriage was horrible. It was the smoke screen. We didn't communicate nothing unless we were smoking. You know, it was times when I knew I was supposed to take care of certain responsibilities, but instead of taking care of the responsibilities, I decided to smoke first. Let me do this first, and I'll take the important stuff second. But as time went on, I started losing jobs. I started losing really good friends, not the friends who wanted to see me stay where I was, but friends who really wanted to see me get to the next level. You know, why are you destroying your life like that? You don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm doing. You know, getting into stuff like that with people who cared about me. When I couldn't look at myself anymore, when I stopped looking at myself in the mirror, I knew, okay, yeah, this is not your average. No, something's wrong. Something has to change because now I'm not caring for me. And when you stop caring about yourself, that becomes a problem.
Right. Okay. That's a serious statement. When you can't look at yourself anymore in the mirror, you knew something had to change. So, what did you? Because the title involves marijuana and cigarettes. So you had a double addiction going on there.
Oh,
so what did you stop first?
Yeah.
What did you stop first? The marijuana or the cigarettes?
No, I stopped them both simultaneously.
Wow,
because
really?
See, the cigarettes and the weed, in my case, was hand-in-hand. It was kind of like, okay, if I smoked weed or if I smoked marijuana, I had to have the nicotine. If I had the nicotine, I had to have the marijuana. So they was like Bonnie and Clyde. You know, I couldn't do one without the other. So, okay, if I say, okay, I'm going to stop smoking marijuana, the nicotine would be like, really? No, you're not. It's like a chaser. It was like my chaser. You know, when people drink alcohol, they usually have to chase with something. Well, both of those was my chasers. If I smoked one, I had to follow behind it. So I had to make a decision of how bad I wanted to quit. And I'm telling you, when you get to the root of addiction, and like one of the questions I ask people in the book is, what made you start doing it? Because people don't just wake up and say, I want to be an addict. That's not on their list of things to do. You know, imagine asking a kindergartner, hey, what you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I want to be a marijuana addict. They don't say that. So somewhere, something kicked in to the person, and they say, okay, you know, I'm only going to do it a little bit. Whatever it is, sugar, TV, our phone, something start out little and turn into a lot. And that's what happened with the weed and with the marijuana and the cigarettes. And I had to make a conscious choice of letting them both go.
Okay, so did you do it on your own, Brian, or did you get some kind of professional help?
Nope. I tried the whole cold turkey. I tried the whole I'm going to quit because, you know, my willpower is stronger than that. You know, I'm not going to go around people who smoke, you know, all that. But what people fail to understand is addiction is a spiritual thing. Leave you alone. People think it, though. You know, people all quit cold turkey. Okay, well, you one of a handful of people who quit cold turkey. But underneath that, it's still lurking. It's just waiting. It's just waiting for you to have a moment where you weak, come back. And I tell people in the book that it's a spiritual struggle. Because, okay, like I say at the beginning of the book, a lot of people not going to accept what I'm saying. Okay, that's fine. You can keep it moving because I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that person who know that they really want to stop and they try everything from the patch to NA to this to that. But it still got a grip on them. And that's when I get into the meat of it being a spiritual, it's a spiritual warfare battle going on in that person's mind.
And
I quit because I allowed God to get my attention and let me know that I couldn't do it without him.
Okay. So that's what you mean when you say it's a spiritual struggle. It took a spiritual entity and a spiritual awakening for you to overcome it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I get it. So to give people a taste of what the book is about and what's in it, can you read a short excerpt from I Stopped Smoking Marijuana and Cigarettes, Now What?
Sure. Me and my wife came up with this passage right here because it fits what I was just saying. It starts, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to tell you how God can change your life in the twinkling of an eye. After hearing my spirit these words, you're not going to enjoy it this time around, Brian. I just shrugged it off and proceeded to attempt to do my business. Let me tell you how God works. The taste was so horrible in my mouth that I literally gagged. After 20 years of smoking, I gagged. I'm talking about dry heaving like I had inhaled something that tasted like the smell of boo-boo. Now, you're probably thinking, well, you did trash. Remember, I said I strategically placed it in the trash. I definitely looked to make sure there was nothing foul in the trash. Get this. Even though the first hit was awful, you know I had to hit it again just to make sure that it wasn't my mind playing tricks on me. It was even worse the second time. I just about threw up in my mouth. Oh, my goodness. The Lord removed the taste from my mouth. My prayer had been answered. And that part right there, I think a lot of people will be able to relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Because we ask God to do something, and he'll do it. And he definitely will do it when you least expect it, because I definitely didn't expect it at that moment. Like, really? Right now, right here?
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you said after 20 years, you had been smoking for 20 years, and it sounded like all of a sudden it made you gag. All of a sudden it didn't taste good to you.
Ooh, horrible. You got to understand, I enjoyed smoking. Like, that was my, you know, when I wanted to relax and chill, roll something up, give me a big, oh, man, you couldn't tell me I had convinced myself I needed that to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
So for the Lord to come in and just move it out, I couldn't believe it, even though I know that's what I was asking. I really couldn't wrap my mind around how fast when you serious with God about something like that. Because, you know, I was back and forth. Oh, Lord, I don't want to smoke. You know, this quick, Lord, just. And I wasn't being real with myself. And once I was really honest in my heart and knew, okay, yeah, I got to get rid of this because this not working. But I couldn't do it on my own. I had to come to that conclusion that I couldn't do it by myself. I couldn't. I wasn't strong enough in my flesh to tell that demon of addiction to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get back
up.
Wow.
Right. And I just have to say for our listeners, this is Michigan Literary Network Radio, and my guest today is Brian A. Matthews, whose debut book is I Stopped Smoking Marijuana and Cigarettes, Now What? And so, Brian, as you're telling your story, I know that you're a co-partner of the publishing company Claire Alden Publications with your wife, DeAndrea Matthews, or DC Wiggins, And but when I interviewed her a few months ago, it was my understanding that she is primarily the writer in the partnership, and you are on more on the business side of things. So what made you want to write this particular book?
So one day me and her, we was talking, she and I was talking, and she said, you know, you need to tell, because I was telling her what I was going through during that period. She said, you know, you need to really tell it somebody who, you know, who need to hear that. Nah, I'm not writing no. She didn't say nothing. She just kind of looked at me. So my wife, I know she has a very good relationship with God. I know her and God are really cool. So I'm assuming she went to God to talk about this situation. Back, and she said, I got the title for the name of your book. I'm not writing no book. It's like the Holy Spirit said, yes, you are. And me and her talked about it, and I told her, you know, I asked her, what should I write, what should I say? And she told me, she said, just be yourself. You know, act like you're talking to somebody about it, and just write it how you feel. And we'll worry about all that after you finish writing it. Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to my wife, now I'm a published author.
Right. Wow. Right. That's great. That is a great story. So what is one of the most surprising things that you learned in writing and creating your book, Brian?
That I could finish it. You know, because somebody tell you, okay, you could write a book. You never wrote a book. I'm like, oh, you could write a book. Brian, you know, she said, Brian, you could write it. You know, I dibbled and dabbled, wrote a couple of pages. I had so much balled up paper on the floor, it was ridiculous. But to be able to finish it, like, wow, I did that. Like, when I got the proof and I'm looking at it holding it in my hand, like, wow, I did, I finished it. And that's the most surprising thing, knowing that A, I finished it, and B, this is really transparent. Like, people who know me, contacted me like, wow, you didn't really pull. So to finish it and to be transparent with it is really surprising, because I didn't think I'd be able to do it like that.
Was it hard? Was it hard to be transparent, or what was the having to be transparent part like for you?
Well, it's easy for me. Because I always feel like we live in a world where people wear so many masks that people used to people, you know, kind of not telling exactly how something is. So because I'm one of those kind of people that I'd rather give it to you straight, no chasing, and we could deal with it than kind of duck. So being able to tell people my story, it was like, okay, well, most of the people who read it know me anyway, so that was the easy part. Plus, having my wife sitting next to me, and she kind of knows some of the story. It was so much easier to just, hey, this what happened. This how, you know. The one thing I'm glad I did or didn't do was put people's names in the book. I just talked about situations, you know, because that way nobody can come to me and say, well, why you say that about? Nope. Like my grandma say, only her dogs holler. So if you think I'm talking about you, and then I probably am. So,
right.
You know.
So what was the hardest part of writing the book for you?
Getting started.
Okay.
Getting started. That's the hardest, because in my head I had completed the book. It was done. I could tell from front to back. It was already written, published. Boom, it's together.
Mm-hmm.
But having to put it on the paper and making time, because the one thing I discovered about being a writer is, even though your mind is writing a mile a minute, put the way you want it. So that's a hard thing, because once you get started. You know, I can recall telling her, I probably write a couple of pages a day, one or two at the most. One day I told her, well, I wrote 10 pages. Once you get past that first line, because it's the first line that get it all started. So if you can get that first line on the paper, you're ready to go. So, yeah, the hardest part is getting started.
Okay. That's a good point. So what message, Brian, do you want to resonate with people who read the book?
I would like for people to understand that no matter where you are, what you're going through, how bad it looks, if you hold on to that name, Jesus, if you hold on to it, regardless of what other people say and people tell you, whatever, if you believe in that name like you're supposed to and hold on to it, you can make it through anything. Because I tell you, I didn't think I was going to, nobody could have told me that I was going to be on the other side of that storm. No, you couldn't have told me that. And did I struggle with the thing? We're going to struggle. That's part of life. But as long as we believe in that name, as long as we hold on to that name, you're gonna pull it through. Regardless of who around you, regardless of what people saying and all the stuff you hear, that faith in that name, you're gonna pull you through. Because as people reading, you're gonna see the ups and downs. They're gonna see it, and that's the message.
Okay.
Don't give up.
Right. So I'm going to ask you this. I just got to ask you this because, when people are struggling with things, a lot of people don't necessarily have that kind of faith that you're talking about, right?
Right.
So what can this book do for people that might not necessarily have that kind of faith that you're talking about? Because, when you say it, just hold on to that name. Some people don't understand what that means, and they don't have that particular relationship. And you kind of make it sound really easy. You kind of make it sound really easy. You know what I mean? When you just say, just hold on to that name. But yeah, what can somebody get out of it that has a different kind of relationship than you have with that kind of faith?
A part of it is self-examination. Let's say you don't believe in that name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also telling people, look, you got to care about yourself enough to say, why am I doing this to myself?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not aware that you, I talk about suicide parties in the book, and what it is, you having this get together with a bunch of people, and you killing yourself. And nobody's taking time to step back and say, hey, why are we doing this to ourselves? You got to look at yourself. You got to say, hey, what's that bad? What's that bad that I got to stay in this frame of mind? What's going on in my life that's so horrible that I want to stay here? I don't want to come from behind it. So it's also a self-examination book. So, okay, so let's say you don't believe in God. Let's say you don't. You don't believe in the name of Jesus, but you believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you believe in yourself enough to say, okay, what's wrong? Why I want to stay here? Why I'm constantly why I'm alienating myself from my friends? Why the people that love me want to see me stop, but yet I'm being selfish. Why? So it's a self-examination book, too. It makes you look at the person in the mirror.
Okay, good. Good. I love that answer. You gotta look at the person in the mirror. Okay. So, do you have any because our conversation has been so good, and I have a feeling that some people are gonna want to be able to meet you in person and talk with you about your book. Do you have any book events coming up?
I have nothing on the horizon right now. I'm still open. I have a couple of people who. Our schedules are conflicting, and it's how your people call my people and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then concrete, I don't have anything concrete as of now.
Okay. I definitely, but
I definitely, but I do have people that's, like I said, conflict with schedule.
Okay, so there are some things in the works. Okay, so
yes.
Where can people go to buy the book? Because if they can't meet you right off, you know, anytime soon, I know some people are going to want to buy the book and really read your story. So how can people buy the book, and also how can they connect with you online?
They can purchase the book off of Amazon.com.
They can type
in the title of the book, I Stopped Smoking, Weed and Cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
Now What, and it will pop up, and you know they can proceed from there. They can also go to Clear Alden Publications, clearalden.com, purchase it from there, contact me there. You can also contact me at my email, bmat1218@yahoo.com. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, all of them, bmat1218.
Is that BMAC? Is that BMACK or BMAC?
Oh, that's BA. Excuse me. That's BMATT. BMAT.
Oh, Matt. Okay. Okay. Got it. Great. Wonderful. I have one last quick question. We have just a few minutes left, but I just have to ask this question. So, what is the now what part of your story? What was left for you after ending your addiction? That's my last question.
The now what is my understanding of why God doesn't like double-minded people.
Mm.
The now what is I understand about controlling my flesh. You know, the now what is, okay, now that I passed that, how can I help other people not to go down that route? It's a lot of now what? Now what? Okay, now how can I help this young man who thinks that it's okay to smoke and drink and do those things understand that it's not okay? So I try to get people to understand that, yeah, you know, you could quit doing something, but what do you do once you get past that stopping that? Like, now I understand it, so I understand so much more than I did before.
Mm.
So I try to take that, what I went through, and help people understand that it's level to this. And it is, it's level.
Right.
It's level to life. So I look
okay.
at it like we all
okay.
start our kids. You know, we got to grow up.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brian, I want to thank you so much for this conversation today and for sharing your book and just for being transparent. And I know that it's going to help a lot of people because the experience helped you so much. And thank you so much for being my guest today on Michigan Literary Network Radio.
Thank you, and I appreciate you for having me.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and all the best to you, and you have a good rest of your night.
All right, and thank you. You too.
All right, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.